Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday's sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Y'all. One of us had to do it. It was just going to be, you know.
Instead of one, you got two.
Yeah, two for the price of one. So, hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
I'm Pastor Gerber. No, I'm just kidding. Pastor Gerber and his lovely bride are gone this week.
Gone.
And we have special guests.
Yay.
Where did they go? They didn't go to Colorado. They went to some lake or something, right?
Yeah.
To relax. Who wants to relax now, huh?
And a lake.
On the lake.
Not me.
Yeah, during.
It's kind of cold.
Yeah, no kidding. Who's ready for a snowstorm tomorrow? You can't raise your hand on podcast, man.
I did anyway.
Well, yeah.
I figured you'd roll the roll.
I wrote an email to all my staff today that basically said, this is probably happening, so, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best kind of thing, and yeah, bring home.
Just in case. Is it the 1 to 3, or Jeff is on some crazy Facebook group meteorologist thing that said we could get 1 to 3 feet of snow?
I think that's in a different place.
Okay, because I was like, what the?
Yeah,
like, I think 3 to 6 inches is the last I heard. Toilet paper.
Yeah,
right? And so, you know, I'm like, do I need to go stock up? We might get 3 feet of snow.
On the way home, we'll go together and
there we go. We'll load up.
I last thing I said, he saw anything between 2 to 24 inches. So
oh, fantastic!
Yeah, it should be working.
Rooting for 24 just to say I saw it.
I wish so I had a job meter like that. As long as you're in between these two parameters, you're okay.
Correct.
24. That's a little variance there.
Yeah. So we have special guests today, and one of them is Pastor Hoyer.
They can never get my name right, and I'm, you know, whatever. I'm used to that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, first time when I was at a track meet and they thought the U was a V, and the guy that was on deck said, heave her in the hole. And it was like, okay. It's just goes, I don't worry about it.
Should we just call you Baby Huey? Is that...
That big duck. We should have brought a picture along, you know? Yeah, my older brother was Huey. We talked about that a little bit the other day. He was Huey. I was Baby Huey. For those of you that are at least 50 years old and remember cartoons, might have to be more than 50.
I don't
Baby
remember.
Huey is a big, fat, dumb duck. And freshman year of high school, that was me. But we'll pass on that. Let's get to the other new person here.
What? We have another new person?
Oh, no.
Oh, you've heard of her. You have heard the rumors, mm-hmm. And she's here, finally.
And we've talked about her. Oh, no.
All
glowing. Talked me all too much.
Do you want to introduce yourself, or do you want your husband to do it?
Oh, he can introduce me.
I'm
put him on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah. The most beautiful person on earth, which doesn't help when you're on a podcast because no one can see you, but still, it radiates.
Just raise your hand. It's okay.
If you want to see this on video, make sure you, anybody know the website? I mean, Gerber uses this and stuff.
TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, say it slower.
Yeah, at Gmail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
TrinityFremontPodcast@gmail.com.
/donate?
/ I don't know.
I think that's just the TrinityFremonts.com/donate.
It just means if you need to comment, go to one of our other podcasts and you'll be able to get the
there's a link.
Pastor Gerber will recite that for you.
Go to last week's and you find that.
That's right.
This is what happens.
Either that or I will put it in the description below because I'm sure I can do that.
I'm sure he can.
Yeah. So
the best English teacher currently at Trinity, by the way.
Yeah. Currently. My daughter just says hi.
Yes.
And she goes, I miss language arts.
Oh, good.
And I said, of course you do.
You know what? I bet she misses all of those Greek and Latin roots.
I don't miss that at all.
I have
I have never missed that. That's why I was always thankful that, you know, in any call meeting at a congregation, they never ask for the pastor's GPA. Never. It just does not come up. And I'm so thankful for that.
Excuse me, sir. What is your GPA?
Yeah, what grade did you get in Greek and Hebrew? Well, I had to do Greek review in the fall after Greek in the summer because they wouldn't let me stay otherwise. So, yeah, I don't refer to Greek things as often as Pastor Gerber does.
Which is fine with me.
That's fair.
It's all good. I like English.
So, who else is here? Oh, hold on. We haven't actually introduced her. I mean, you said all these adjectives, but we haven't said her name.
The one, the only, the awesome, Tara Roberts.
Hold on. Boom. I got a thing for that, maybe.
Oh, goodness.
Tara Roberts, come on down. Yes. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. all right, I'll stop all that craziness. Hi, Tara. How are you?
Hello. I didn't know we were winning prizes on this game show.
Yes. You get to sit and have a conversation with us.
That is the prize.
Oh. I'm kidding.
That's a good prize. Paul.
I'd say you're wrong, but well.
No, that's a good prize.
Well, welcome you two. We're glad that you're here. Since the Gerbers are missing, we still have our five contestants of The Price is Right and Pew Talk. Who else is here? Lacey, yes, are you here?
I am here, and I was laughing at the whole Price is Right, and I was trying to figure out how to work a Pew Talk podcast into the Price is Right theme, and it just didn't come out the way I wanted it to. I know.
And I'm Casey Roberts, and I'm married to the beautiful English teacher.
Oh, my goodness. He's laying it on thick.
Yeah. He really is.
We have to invite Tara back.
I know. Yeah.
See, the problem is later on, it will sound like this in the house.
Yeah.
Yep. How dare you talk to me at the podcast?
Yeah.
There's a hidden camera.
Am I scary?
No.
Could be. Who knows? I could picture you just being like, I'm going to hit you later.
What?
Could happen.
I don't know. Anyways, so it was Christmas last week.
Really?
Yeah. And anybody? Let's go around. Let's find out. Did you guys have any favorite things that you could not do this year, or was there any new things that because of the coof that we did this year that is new? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yes.
So let's talk at the Roberts. Let's look at you two as a couple.
Yes.
What did you guys do what did you guys do differently, or what was a new tradition that maybe came up because of the change of life?
What we did new was Zoom everything. Just Zoom.
Yes.
But that actually started kind of, I think, potentially a new tradition, because one of the things I'm pretty sure a lot of people can relate with is once you get married, you can't be in multiple places at once. You kind of have to choose, you know, where are we celebrating Christmas this year, and what are we going to do, and who potentially gets left out on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, depending on the tradition. But now that we've learned that you can FaceTime and Zoom and things like that, it at least gives us the ability to pop in of where we're not in the future when there's not the coof. So that was looking at the bright side, because we like traveling for that, and we did not get to this year.
You guys usually go down to Arizona?
We usually go down to my home state. So 70 degree winters and hiking, and I did not get to do that.
No hiking?
It's pretty flat around here. It's a little bit of a culture shock.
Don't you want to hike in the snow?
I don't. I did that once. What is it called? Like snowshoeing up in Idaho when I did my student teaching, and that was really fun.
Snowshoeing.
Yeah, you feel like a superhero because you're literally walking on the snow, and then you take off the snowshoe, and then you like sink right in.
I've never done that.
Yeah, it's real fun.
It sounds like fun.
Idaho's gorgeous.
You guys have cross country skiing in Midwest?
What?
Cross country running. I've got that.
Not really.
Not as much. No, you'd have to be in some place where you have a little more snow. There are some, you can go to parts of Iowa here in the western edge of Iowa where they'll do some of that. They actually have not a ski resort, but a place where you can go skiing. It's like a bunny hill.
Bunny hill.
Mount Crescent.
That could be it.
So,
I fell down at once. Don't ever do it again.
You're looking at me like what is cross country skiing? Okay, so in New Hampshire, we had skis that you put on. They're not like downhill skis. They're different types of skis.
Downhill.
And you basically have your little poles, and you just glide. You go. It's basically like gliding along
it's
snow.
Like skiing.
You can watch the Olympics and watch them cross country ski.
Yeah, essentially. And everybody has a gun in the back. No, I'm just kidding. That's cross country skiing. They cross country skiing, and then they stop and they shoot something, and then they keep on going. That's not the way we do it in New Hampshire, but it's basically like hiking with skis on in the snow.
But hiking is more vertical.
Yeah, except that in New Hampshire, everything's vertical. So.
Oh, well, that's fair.
I'm going to have to go there sometime.
I love
it. It sounds beautiful.
Oh, I love New Hampshire. I got a sign from my mom over there that says live free or die.
Yeah.
My daughter was like, what does that mean? I go, well, one day you'll find out. So Lacey, what did you have to do this year that was different, or was there a new tradition that came up because of the COOF?
You know what? Kind of a little bit of both. One new thing I did was I made snuffers for the candlelight service.
I melted mine.
Yeah, believe me, that was fun.
I did melt it.
On purpose?
Yeah, I tried really hard to do it. I was like, I got it.
It's making fun smoke designs with it, and then Casey took it away.
Stop playing with that.
Smiling
with fire. After the service.
Oh, like, sure.
Horrible.
It wasn't the silentest night ever.
So I made snuffers, and I went to the 4 p.m. service, which I've never gone to. Mm-hmm. And I gave my pew, to a family that walked in at like right at 4 o'clock with like six people and then a baby in a baby bucket.
Is this going to be the new thing?
And that was kind of like my new thing. I'm like, I really should go to 4 o'clock church service. It was a really nice service. I had not ever gone, and kind of plays off of Tara and Casey's where, you know, you can't go everywhere. Well, apparently for Jeff and I, we did go everywhere on Christmas Eve. We would have 3 Christmases on Christmas Eve, 2 Christmases on Christmas Day, and then usually the one the Sunday before. So we did all kinds of running around. So it was really nice this year to not
run around.
Yeah.
And then you spend 5 days resting after that, recuperating.
Oh, yeah, it's been fantastic.
It's crazy. Well, yeah. Yeah. But it's, yeah, it's
I did
good.
Get to miss out on the oysters. I don't eat it. Let me preface. I do not eat it. The oyster stew that my grandma makes, it stinks. But I actually missed the smell of that.
I miss the smell of oysters.
Oyster stew. And oh my gosh, because it would just be like a whole different thing. Because grandma's like, okay, I bought these oysters. She calls it the Walmart. She's like, I bought these oysters at the Walmart and they have really nice oysters, and goes on and this and that. And she's like, you just need a little bit of butter and then a little bit more butter and then some half and half and just keep on going. And that's so awesome. I missed that part of it. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
We could invite her to Nebraska. You have mountain oysters.
Yeah.
That makes a stew too.
She lives in Fontenelle.
Okay. Oh, okay. What yeah. is a mountain oyster since I'm not from here?
I'm not really.
I'm not sure we can talk about that.
Rhymes with resticles.
Yeah, you have to.
Does it have a festival?
Yes, it does.
It does.
There we go.
It starts with a T.
All right. Since I don't work for the church, I can say testicle festival.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
If you want to write letters, write that to Pastor Gerber.
Yes, please do. And because he's not here, everything, we're feeling fairly emotional about lots of things right. today. So it's okay to be crying today. It's okay to be flailing. I don't even know what that is, but we're not
flaying people.
No.
We're flailing.
Feelings.
Flailing.
Nothing more. Feelings.
Sailing.
So, Baby Huey, anything changed for you?
We, like everybody else, did the Zoom deal. So we had, you know, our one from Cleveland and one from North Dakota, and our kids from Colorado were here, and our one kid from Omaha came. So, you know, we had a little bit of both. So we did have some family together, but we did have others that were distant. I like for you guys, I mean, I've always talked in my premarital counseling, once you get married, you're going to have to make a choice. If you have both had the tradition of opening gifts on New Year's Eve, and especially if you're from different states and different places.
New Year's Eve?
Did I say New Year's Eve?
Wow.
That's because I'm thinking of what I got to say on New Year's Eve. Anyway, but on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, you can celebrate any day, which I think is part of what you have to, once you get married, you have to say, yeah, we're going to celebrate however we celebrate, whenever we do that. I loved when all of our little grandsons, grandkids were together, I would give everybody, the adults too, stick on mustaches. And then we would take a picture. And that was kind of, I would keep that hanging in my car. You know, that would be my memory. Well, this year we couldn't do that, obviously, because we were all in different places. So this year, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it yet, but I sent blue do-rags to everybody. And at some point, I want a picture of every family with these blue do-rags, and I'm going to put them all together and have that. That was our togetherness, even though we weren't together.
I kind of was envisioning in my head that, you know, a screen of Zoom, and in everybody's face, you have little stickers of mustaches.
Yeah.
And you're just taking a picture of that.
Well, it might work. The kids don't stay still long enough for that to happen. So
Hudson had a mustache pacifier. It was his first. He was a September baby, so December was, you know, he was just a couple months old. So my brother-in-law had bought him the this pacifier that had a black mustache on it. So I have this picture of Hudson, little chubby cheeked little fellow with this big black mustache.
That's awesome.
Like, it's great. Oh yeah, it was fantastic.
I still have that pacifier for myself.
Still have it in a drawer. I guess I could bring it to have a picture.
I also did the Zoom call thing. We did one on Christmas night. The only difference is that I have a little studio. And so I gave, my wife sat there and the kids sat there. And so everybody had a mic. They all had their own cameras. And of course, everybody else was like away, like 100 feet away. And they all sound like, so and of course, they're like, man, you sound like you're on NPR. And I'm like, and now the weather. You know, every time we'd be, you know, how the conversation lulls. And I would just be like, and now the weather. But it was just a little bit different because, but we had a good time, you know. But that was the only thing different. I would say that Christmas Eve was weird because my wife wanted to get a family picture. And she's like, we never can get it set up. And, you know, and I don't really want to go out and blah, blah, blah. So she went to the 4 o'clock service with her mother and Leah. And I stayed home with Will. And I got him all dressed up in a tie. And I went up and took these lights and I brought them upstairs by the tree. And I set up a whole thing. And we did family pictures afterwards. You know, well, you can't make that. You can't make that face.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, dang it, I need some overhead lights. I can do my own photos.
Yeah, if you guys want to, I'm not a photographer. I just use an iPhone and it works fine.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The portrait mode.
Yeah, it was the portrait mode. And believe me, it's awesome. It makes me look like a photographer, even though I basically just put it on a stand, which is basically right there.
Yeah.
You can all see it. Anyways, but it was kind of an interesting thing. And then we had dinner, and then we watched the 7 o'clock mm-hmm. thing, which was fun. Do you guys enjoy that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. It was good.
Yeah, if you guys watched it on Christmas Eve, you guys get to see the God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Yes.
That was a very special song that got copyright infringed, so it got taken off. So if you're watching it after the fact, you guys missed out on one song, which is probably the best song we did.
I know, that was my favorite song.
Yeah.
She had an awesome solo.
Okay, that's not why it was my favorite song. It was just really catchy.
Really fun.
Everyone on stage had just fun getting into that song. It was fun to watch, too. Yeah,
it was a good time. So if you guys got to see it live, it was almost like a special thing to see it live. Now, if you didn't see it live, then sorry. And we can never do that song again because we can't have Facebook taking us down. So
that's super sad.
Yeah, but it was the director's cut. It was fun to see the kids in it and all the different parts that you guys had put together. That part was great.
Shout out to my fifth graders. Did an awesome
job.
They did
a good job.
Yes.
I was actually, I was happy to see the kids. And I was like, I can actually hear them.
I know.
It was like, what a concept. And then what's funny is that I don't have to sit there and watch this. I can actually... So I kind of felt good, except I was like, oh. But I did feel good that we actually were able to pull together some sort of thing for the kids to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was, So then we did that. And then I saw Christmas Chronicles 2. Do you guys have a favorite Christmas movie that you guys usually?
I just watched the first Christmas Chronicles, so I just caught up with that. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah, but... it's horrible.
Oh, see, Hudson said it's really good.
Oh, I haven't watched it. Did you like the first one?
No.
Okay, good. Then we're on the same page as unimpressed.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I won't waste my time.
The second one's even worse.
Noted.
Oh. But I bet you, my kids thought it was great. They were like, this is best movie ever. I'm like, yeah, you guys have to see more movies.
If it's Kurt Russell versus Tim Allen for being Santa, Tim Allen wins every time.
Yeah, it's just completely different ball game. I'm glad Goldie Hawn had a bigger part in this movie. Mm-hmm. And it was good to see her again. It's been a long time. Anybody in the 80s who's watched her. I'm looking at Tara going, who's Goldie Hawn?
She's Kate Hudson's mom.
She's your son Hudson's
mom? What? No, Goldie Hawn is Kate Hudson's mom.
Oh, well, that's trivia for you.
No, seriously. See the random things I know.
Yeah. And then we went to the midnight service where I melted your snuffer.
Yes.
And we got to sit next to the Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And they were snoring for some reason. I don't know.
Really? Hey. That's because I had three messages.
Yeah.
I think the best.
I knew we were in trouble when I saw the slide. I said, first thought. I'm like, oh, no.
The best part was just the 45 and under, and Paul and Lori are just celebrating on the side. We made it!
Last year I had a section for high school and under, and then it was like, I remember this year, it's like, oh, I got to change that because It's and we have had, you know, a lot of little kids come with parents, and we've had some high schoolers come, but you can't ever hear them. And so I knew that I had to change that anyway. So I moved it to 35, then I moved it to 45. And
it's a special number 45.
I'm 44. Yeah. That's why I said I, we made it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like made it like I didn't have to say it.
No,
so I was like, you're not 45. I'm wait a minute.
We were just funny because it was like, okay, people on the right side, people then male, and then 44. I was like, oh, I had to say a bunch of stuff in a row. This is no fun.
I was doing that to keep people awake.
Yeah, no, but yeah, so. It didn't work for the robbers. They were snoring.
Yeah.
You guys are here to defend yourselves. So I'm just going to keep on going.
I sang extra loud because the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Oh, I had to tell you, I did not sing. I couldn't handle the mass, man. It was killing me. I was like, this is the worst.
I agree. Fogging myself up.
My favorite part of like the 11 o'clock service or the candlelight service is just listening to everyone else sing.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting? Because there isn't a lot of kids, it's how quiet it is.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. It's really quiet here. And then the organ plays. You're like, oh we're awake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like my first thought. Oh.
It is. It really, that service really would lend itself more to either having a piano or some other instrumentation mm-hmm. other than the organ. Even if the organ is softer, it's still different. Yeah. You know,
I did one Christmas Eve service with Ko many moons ago. Yeah. It felt like it was, how long ago was he? He's been gone for at least 5 years.
Master Gerber's been here 3. So
He was at Concordia my last year.
Yeah, so I want to say it was 5 years ago that mm-hmm. I did.
Ko was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, we did an acoustic thing. It was him and I for acoustic.
Yep.
And I think it was the one year that you couldn't do it or something. I don't remember why we did it. It was but I was like never invited back, so therefore I was like...
We'll invite you back.
Yeah, it's like, great.
How good is your organ, Paul?
No, I know. That's a very weird question.
I think that's where Pastor Gerber next year can do the candlelight, because you know it's like when David was here, he always said, "Well, you've been here longer, so you just do that." And Anthony has kind of done that too. Since you're here and you do that, why don't you just keep doing that? I don't have little kids at home. He does. You know, there is a different dynamic to it.
I will say it's just
a different service.
Yeah,
I love the late services, or even the Saturday versus Sunday, because there's something about an evening service. It's just more relaxed. And I know you guys last week talked a little bit about, you know, even contemporary versus traditional, but there's something about the timing of the service, the when it happens, you know, after a day, our thought processes are different. Depends on my mood and when it's different.
Yeah. I would also like to say that it really adds that your voice is so like, you just like have this.
It's like soft and mellow.
Yeah.
I think it was my first year here when we're doing the Christmas Eve, not New Year's Eve, the Christmas Eve service, and the Galaus family was sitting in the middle section where they haven't sat since. Sydney, who now is in high school, was a baby. And I was talking about the baby Jesus, and I don't know I don't remember if she was fussing on Amy's lap, but I just reached down and offered my hands, and Amy handed me Sydney. And so I finished the message with Sydney in my arms and kind of went from there. And it was just, I mean,
fell asleep.
The baby was good. It was just so cool. And those kind of things that you can't plan for. You can't, it's the moment. It just makes it. It was fun. That was fun.
Oh, well. All right. Well, I want to transition very sharply here. So we talked about genealogy. We talked about
nicknames. Yeah. You know, genealogy is crazy. Sydney was there, and you know, she's a high schooler now. I mentioned Amy, but just think about the people that have been in your past, your, you know, parents, grandparents, great grandparents, people that we wouldn't be here without. I can say this on the podcast. I was going to say it on Sunday. Had we gotten a Christmas gift done for my wife's parents sooner, my wife had been on Ancestry.com and figured out that that her mom's family actually goes back to the second time the Mayflower came over. So she can go back to the early 1600s, and they were part of the Plymouth colony and that. So she can trace those names back only through that side. But, you know, they went, you know, from England to Holland because of religious persecution. Then they went from Holland to the Americas because of religious persecution. And, you know, just to see some of the storyline that goes along with that. Now, I don't know know that they were Lutheran. It doesn't really matter. But you just think about how the faith is passed on. I can't name any of those people, but without any one of those people, my wife wouldn't be the person that she is. I mean, you know, we're all connected gene-wise, people-wise. So the more you think about that, it's like, yes, we are all related, but it's just crazy to think if I would make one different decision in my family line, everything changes after that. Yeah. And, you know, we looked at Matthew chapter 1. It's got all these names in the line of Jesus, from Abraham to Jesus, mostly that none of us can pronounce correctly. And it really doesn't matter because they would have said them differently anyway. But I just think those names are listed so that we have this proof that Jesus actually came. Well, you know, we're here. I can't go back to somebody else's grave two generations ago, three generations ago. There's some of those I have no idea where to go. Now, it'd be nice if that was written down. You know, we in America, we don't do that genealogical thing like the Hebrew did. I mean, that was their claim to fame. I'm a child of Abraham. Well, you know, our goal was to get to, I want to be a child of Jesus. I want to be that connection through faith that Galatians 3 talks about. But do you guys have anybody famous in your gene pool?
Famous.
Not that I'm aware of.
Or of notoriety. Maybe they aren't famous, but...
I can't say I do.
I was told I had a great grandparent who his claim to fame was that he always ate his peas with a knife.
As one would do.
And yeah. He was a bachelor.
I hate peas.
I like peas, but I don't think I'd like them eating them with a knife.
They're disgusting.
What kind of knife are you using? Is it a butter knife?
I don't know. I just...
do you just line them up and then just like chuck them?
You
got to
balance them. You know, I shake too much. I can't do... I'm getting too old. I can't do that.
You hate peas. My wife hates peas.
I'm younger than you, like but peas. I don't even think I could get the peas in my mouth on a knife. Are you kidding?
Yeah, no.
That's a skill.
So yeah. Maybe we should all practice.
I could get them on the knife. It's not cutting myself while feeding myself to be the problem.
I feel like
just imagine if it didn't exist, nobody would really know how to do this.
A minute to win it challenge here.
Yeah, it
peas
could be.
And knives.
Youth group game. Not yes. Knives.
You must eat the peas with the knife.
Yeah, who knows? Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep on thinking when you were saying all that, I kept on thinking like since it was Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life movie.
Yeah.
You know, he infected all these people and he had his marriage and he has kids and all that. And then he's just like, I didn't make a difference. And he just disappeared. And they kind of showed, you know, anybody who has never seen the spoiler alert. You've never seen that movie?
No.
Oh, okay. Shame on you.
Every time the bell rings,
an angel gets his wings.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's a heretical movie, but it's good. It's
maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's worth a watch.
I mean, regardless of that, I'm just talking about that whole genealogy thing. It's just like that person was plucked out. And so the individuals that he affected and the kids and all that stuff were suddenly gone. Well, at least, and how he affected people's lives.
And I think that's part of what we should think about. You know, in our day and age, we hear so much about the legacy that people leave, not just in the political world, but in other people. And I think, you know, what is the legacy I want to leave? What's the legacy? You know, it's not just that somebody has my last name. It's that I want to pass on the faith. We're going to pass on a lot of other things in our gene pool that are strange and weird and goofed up. But I want my kids and my grandkids to be in heaven when I get there. No, I don't want them to be there when I get there. I want to be there first.
There you go.
My credit's corrected. I want to be there first. No, I don't want to go through the pain of having them go before me.
Yeah.
But there is that tie. I mean, that movie, that scene is powerful if we actually would take it and say, oh, maybe in my mundane life, as I see it, I actually do make a difference. God has given me purpose, even though sometimes I don't feel like I'm having purpose in life.
You know, I look at teachers, because teachers to me are one of those rare breeds of birds that affect a lot of people's lives over a long period of time. And you might never see how you affected that child's life as they grow. What do you think about that, Tara, since you're a teacher?
It's an awesome burden. And by awesome, it doesn't necessarily mean great all the time. It's something where you have to think about just the actions and reactions in real time and how those are going to affect later. But even now, I'm starting to feel old. My first class that I've ever had is graduating and going going to college, and that's crazy to me. And I just researched one of them has like a case that he's bringing to the Supreme Court or something.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm just sitting there like, well, I mean, that had nothing to do with me. But at
how do you know?
I Googled it.
Yeah, but how do you know that like you didn't influence that person to go down that career path?
Oh, I definitely did not.
How do you know?
I was only there for 8 weeks.
Yeah, but, maybe you said one thing.
No, I'm pretty sure the coyote traps had a lot to do with it.
What?
Yeah, that's what he's Canyon's Law. Look it up. Support Canyon and his family.
Huh.
But yeah, okay. I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting to see how fast time seems to go on too. So a lot of these little moments, they're gigantic, but they also just, I don't know, they're not.
Do you have any thank you cards from kids in the past?
I have a whole box full of
them. Oh, yes.
Yeah, some of my kids will actually write them to me knowing teacher, that I'll put them in there.
Every teacher
yes.
has a box or an envelope or a file or something with those positive notes because you don't get them a lot. And there's sometimes kids that you would never get a thank you note from. And when you're having a bad day, it's those notes or that box or that file that you go back to and say, yes, this is worth it. I'm doing the right thing. It's all good.
Or sometimes it's fun when the kids don't know that you actually saved them and then you can pull them out and show them their handwriting from way back when.
That is Mr. Will Susan. Now, I don't know, Lauren, if you listen to these, but I tell you what, that man has, he's had birthdays. He will send kids a birthday card years later after they've gone. He has sent them notes about what they did and how they did it, what part in an eighth grade play they had. He has been amazing when it comes to following people down the road, which is so cool. And just a shout out to Lauren for his faithfulness and the way he taught and the way he lived and loved his kids. I mean, it's just great. It's great.
Well, and of course, I will not put myself on the level of teacher because, you know, I do youth group once a week.
That's not true.
That still takes a lot, though. But, yeah,
that's not true.
I would not do it every day, but it's one of those moments when you get one of those defining words to describe the word moments. It sticks with you and it can power you through a lot of things. At one of my previous congregations, there was a youth that had joined my youth group, had next to no faith background, didn't know hardly any of the stories. If you referenced even like King David or Noah, just no knowledge base, but enjoyed the company and enjoyed the time. You know, when it came time to pray, she would usually, you know, pass on it. You know, it's just fine. You know, we're happy you're here kind of thing. And it was about, I knew I was heading to my next congregation, but I had one trip left. And day one of this major trip, you know, I particularly on first days, I open it up, but I usually expect to pray on the first night of a trip. You know, you're just getting used to things. So I open it up and instantly she's like, I got this. And she just gave, not that you rank prayers on how good they sound, but it was one of the most heartfelt things. And I'm like, okay, back to your rooms now. I tried to send them off quickly because it was one of those emotional moments. It's like throughout all the stuff you can deal with and the teachers and educators, all the flack that they get. It's those little moments. It's like, that's why you do it. Yep. God is working.
Yep, absolutely.
You guys have a person, I mean, we talked about family members in the past that have influenced. You guys have like a teacher or somebody that like maybe just said one thing to you that completely changed the way that you think or the way that you have grown up?
Yes. Why, Lacey, why are you laughing?
Because I'm just going to say this because it was the best thing ever. I used to play the saxophone and I'm going to throw myself under a bus. I cannot read music. I have no idea what these connected notes mean, but I know what the scale is and I know how to play it. So if you give me a song, give me a couple of times and I can go through it.
We'll remember that.
Yeah.
I'll say that's the reason I'm in percussion. We'll all the notes are on the same line.
Oh yeah, I have no idea. Like he'd be like, what's a dotted eighth followed by a 16th? I'm like, no idea. Got no clue. So we were practicing my solo, which just happened to be Chicago, that toddle in town. And
you were playing Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago, the toddle in town, that song. Yeah. Anyways, I know exactly where you're going. It just clicked. So we're sitting there, we're practicing, and then all of a sudden he stops. And let's just say my first 6 months wanting to be a saxophonist was horrible. Thank the Lord for my parents for putting up with me. Yeah, it was pretty bad. So we're sitting there and he stops and he looks at me and he goes, Lacey, he goes, I got to tell you, he goes, when you came to me 4 years ago and said, you want to play the saxophone? He goes, I was pretty nervous. He goes, you were pretty bad. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fully aware of it. And he's like, you would honk your way through it. He goes, but I'm really proud of you. He goes, you have stuck with it. And he goes, now you know what you're doing. He goes, you're really good. And he goes, but I got some words of advice for you. And I'm thinking it's going to be some monumentous thing.
Yeah, like, but learn to read notes or
right,
something.
Right, exactly. And he knows I can't because he flat out knows. And he goes, I just have something to tell you. Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker.
Oh,
okay. Willy Wonk in the chocolate factory.
And how is old that, were you when he said that?
I was 18. And it was funny because I was like, oh, maybe that's how my parents made it through my saxophone playing.
Yeah, that was Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, the original.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was, here I'm thinking some monumentous thing, but it made me laugh. And
how did that change your life?
It's just because it threw humor into things where even, you know, you're trying your butt off, you're doing everything that you can, and sometimes you give it your all and you just need a stupid thing to pop through your head. So candy is dandy, liquor is quicker, just like my salt and pepper black otter. I have no idea. Thank you, Tara, for Greek and Latin roots, because I've never learned Greek and Latin roots. That's not something I learned in school.
Neither have I. Yeah.
But working at Trinity and being what I am, which
Nebraska
is
state standards,
the doer of all of the things, I am now learning my own Greek and Latin roots, and I'm like, yeah, I can't help you with this, but Siri, what is the Latin root of?
Oh, good thing you didn't say the other.
Yeah,
the other female.
I realized that.
We don't want her to start talking to us.
Start down. No.
But yeah, so it's just one of those things where, and every time I think of that, I think of him because he was a great teacher, and the amount of patience that man had for not just myself, but all the other honkers and clarinets, and yeah.
Now, you were laughing over there when I asked that question.
Yeah. I was a moody preteen.
No.
Yeah. So, I have some teachers who I definitely look up to and aspire to be, but half the time I wonder how they put up with me in the first place. I actually got detention once for reading a book in class because the class got in trouble for locking the door or something like that in Eric Hoffman's eighth grade class. And I was like, well, I had nothing to do with that. I'm responsible. So I was like, all y'all gotta be listening to this, but I don't
she
need
said
to.
Y'all.
Yeah, well, I'm from the
I know
South.
She did.
Yeah.
Southwest, but South.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so I picked up a book and I started reading. I was still listening, but I was reading, and it was very disrespectful, and I got detention. And I thank him for giving me detention because it made me open up my eyes to be like, yeah, I need to pay attention to more than just what's, you know, me.
You weren't the center of the universe?
Oh, what? As a middle schooler?
Wait a minute. So your teacher basically taught you at that moment that you weren't the center of the universe?
No, that's not what he taught me. What he taught me was that other people might be watching, and just because you didn't do anything wrong doesn't mean that you also need to take responsibility as a class.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
It's a big lesson.
It is
early
on.
I learned
a big
that.
Lesson.
I learned that from my father, but that was because he was Marine.
Yeah, well. Eric Hoffman also sent me to detention with a book, and I was like, that seems wrong. So me and the detention teacher had a laugh about it. But then I gave him the book during study hall, what we call study centers. And I was like, you know, you sent me to study hall with the book. And he goes like, yeah, I realized that during lunch. It's like, but I didn't read it. And so I gave it back to him. And I was like, I think I realize. So then I didn't read during study hall either, because I realized it's not just me. Like, I got to be part of the whole class. And I was moody. I was all about just like, leave me alone. Tiger stripes in my hair. But yeah, made me realize. Just
explained so much.
Yeah. She had to go back to those tiger stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah, fit in at Fremont. It'd be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And got red and purple.
Just have
with
to do
black
panther
underneath.
Stripes.
Mm-hmm. Panther stripes.
Yeah, right. That'd be great.
I don't think panthers have stripes.
Well, maybe ours could.
This one will.
Yes. This is the new panther.
So. I wonder what Leah will say when she sees that.
Yeah, no.
She'll probably be like, I want to do that.
Yeah,
yeah, she probably will. Yeah,
and please don't make me rewrite the dress code.
Just for me?
Yes.
Just for me. Because she is the center universe. She just said it.
No, I'm not.
Read a book, Tara.
That was not the point of the story. That was not what I dealt with.
What about you, Casey?
I can't think of one specific teacher or moment, but for me, what I picked up is I always kind of knew I wanted to be a type of educator. Teacher didn't really connect with me, but I knew I wanted to do something. And when I was looking at it, the teachers that made the biggest impact were those that were relational. It wasn't just facts, you know, whether it was math, history, science. It wasn't about the, you know, equals MC square, learn what this says, spit it back on a test. It was one of the biggest reasons, going back to one of our earliest podcasts, is I'm such a history nut, is the history teacher I had in high school was incredibly relational. You know, it wasn't just that we didn't do the dates and the exact names, and it was that history matters because it connects each person in that room. And it turned how I looked at history and how I looked at how you teach at the same time in a different direction. And so a lot of times, you know, kind of LCMS, it's sometimes about knowing the books of the Bible, knowing the people in it. And that is incredibly important. I think it's important to know David, Daniel, you know, Samson, any of them. It's important to learn from those people. But in the end, what you know in the Bible isn't what's going to save you. It's knowing who the Bible's about. And so some of those biggest breakthroughs, like that student I talked about earlier, I'm willing to bet, at least when I left that church, you know, she probably still didn't know most of the people that we in the circle might call, you know, the big names in the Bible. But she knew who Jesus was. That's the most important relationship. She knew she had people that cared about her, and it wasn't just me in that youth group. And that's, for me, I learned from teachers who were the most effective. It's about how you relate to people.
It's relational. And that's part of the, you know, if you look at genealogy, that's part of who all of those people in that room at that moment, who God made them to be. And he knew, I mean, that's the crazy thing. If you start to think about God, that he knew in advance that those people would be in that room that day at that moment for that person. You know, that's where life gets weird when I try and figure God out and how he does that. Cause I had a third grade teacher. When I was in third grade, I got run over by a tractor and dick wreck kind of across my chest. And I had a single teacher, who came, to the Minneapolis hospital every day to keep me on track. He saw me every day. He came, he was kind of like an extended part of our family. And it was from third grade on. I wanted to be a teacher because it was relationships. He cared. We didn't, you know, we weren't related to him, but you know, he became a family person in a non-blood, but genealogical kind of way. And then I had a high school coach who's actually at Seward now, Courtney Meyer.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I got kicked off the football team for having a couple of drinks one night. Actually, it wasn't just a couple of drinks. It was more than that. And I've used this story in church before, so it won't be a surprise to anybody. But then he, you know, later, I thought, well, as a senior in high school, I wanted to be a teacher. I was going to go to Seward. I was going to be a Lutheran school teacher. I probably can't do that now. And the morning that he spoke to several of us who had reportedly been at that little party, you know, he simply said, you know, you've taken yourself off the team. He didn't say, I'm kicking you off. He said, you've taken yourself off. He gave the responsibility back to me. But in the same moment, you know, he said to me, I know that you want to be a teacher, and don't let this stop you. You could still do that. So while he was reprimanding me in a big way for me at that moment, he was also reaffirming, and he kept loving me through it. I mean, he invited me to come on the team bus to all the games, even though I couldn't play, which was hard. That was another part of the learning, you know, is seeing me suffer when they were still playing. But he knew all that, you know, and still invited me back. He didn't put me aside somewhere. And we're good friends to this day. I had him in my wedding. I got the chance to play for him at Seward, because after I went to Seward, I was there a year or two, and then he took a call to Seward. So I got a chance to play football for him a second time. I had a second chance for the coach.
And
yeah, it's cool.
I know both him and his wife, because I did some of my field work at St. John across from Seward, and they really are they're two of the nicest people on the planet, but they'll set you straight in the best way possible.
His wife was a classmate of mine. I mean, she was the same class. That was so good. Folks. Yeah. And they make a lasting impact. He'll still call and check on me and say, you know, how you doing? Have you had any treatments, Lee? I mean, just lasting impressions that I hope I've made on somebody down the road. Long after I'm gone, who knows? I mean, the legacy that we leave, most of us won't have a clue at what that is, but that's okay. You know, I think we'll have a chance to thank God for who he put in our life and how that all works.
And I think looking at that Matthew genealogy, it's God used each of those people on different levels, but he used each one of them. It's, you know, I know when you deal with genealogies, that can be a touchy subject for people because some people are very proud of their family heritage, you know, who they came from. And, you know, I can only imagine if you had someone like George Washington in your family line, you know, you'd be proud of that. But for every one of those, there's tons of people who are very ashamed by their family and sometimes deservedly so, because there's some, we see it, there's horrible people in this world. But if you look at that genealogy alone and how God used each one of them, the scripture, and both you had mentioned, Dan, the 14 generations from Abraham to King David, 14 generations during the time of the kings, then 14 generations in that time between where scripture isn't, where there's no people in scripture writing things. And just looking at that time of the kings, you have the, what I call the hall of fame of kings, like the Davids, the Solomons, the Hezekiahs, the one who stood up for God and made sure that people knew who Israel's deliverer was. But there's way more in that list.
Way more.
There's a reason they wound up deported to Babylon, is because those kings were awful and discouraged Christ, or not Christ worship, but worshiping God. But yet they're still listed as part of Jesus' genealogy. God used those awful kings who did not follow him to bring about the coming Christ.
Yeah, there's some people of ill repute in that genealogy. And I think that does show us that God can use anybody, anytime, all the time, whether we know it or not. And that's what I love about it, is that it's not about who we are, how good we do, how well we plan things out, because we can plan all we want. It's God already has the plan. I just think it's the whole move from justification to sanctification. It's the move from what God has done for me. Now in my life, I want to live as best as I can so that it has the best influence on my kids, my grandkids, my students, my neighbors, whatever it might be, whoever God puts in my midst that I can love on and care for and all of that. That's where it makes a difference.
Yeah, that was my next question. Now, you just kind of answered a lot of that, but I have to pull a Gerber here and say, now, how are we going to take this information and live it?
Well, you know, when Ray's doing the introduction, you know, what's the words he uses, that if we take information...
Information alone is not...
Does not lead to growth and change.
Change. Okay, we don't always like that word change, but that's what God expects of us. I mean, from the moment we are created in our mom's womb, we are changing in shape, in size. We come out and we change in shape and size and intellect and personality and all those things. And as we grow in faith, we learn about some of those biblical characters or about some of God's precepts, and we start to say, oh, that's why I shouldn't do that. Or a teacher corrects me and says something, or a parent comes and encourages me in something, and my life is constantly changing. We have certain things we don't want to change, but that's usually because we're stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. You know, God's always on the cutting edge of things, and when things get kind of lulled, God was pretty good at saying, hey, don't forget about me, and would throw something else in there. And I think that's the good part of this year. It's forced us to reconsider how I live, how we live life, we might have an impact on, and what changes I need to do. Before, my life was filled up with routine. I'm going to go see this person as a shut-in or as a whatever it might be, or preparing for a message. But now it's like, well, if I can't see them, how am I going to fill my time? You can almost feel guilty for just sitting at your desk doing something. Was that really what I should be doing? You guys know Mark Lowry?
Yeah.
He's a Christian comedian. He's older too, but he sang with the Gaithers for a while, Gaither Vocal Band. I listened to a little ditty he did a long time ago, but I listened to it this morning, and he just talked about how we got to be hanging out with more prostitutes, man. You know? Jesus was hanging around all of these other people who were the outcasts all the time. And I'm thinking, here I sit in my office so much. Am I really out in the world? I mean, that's where you guys, you know, you guys that are sitting with me in this room, you're really on the front line, because you are out there. Sometimes we as church workers, as pastors, whatever, we can kind of get in a place where it's pretty safe. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way Jesus lived. You know, live free or die, right? I mean, that would have been Jesus's way. And he lived free and then he died, you know. But what he did in that living free is show us that's what real life is. And what he did in his death was he gave us life. I mean, there's so much in that that we can just take and learn from and love through.
And I love what you said there with, you know, we have to get used to change. And I think, you know, looking at genealogies and, you know, people's family histories, like I said earlier, you can either be really proud of that, really ashamed of that, or any level in between. And you look at the second reading we had from John, where Jesus is duking it out with the Pharisees, who are very proud of their Abrahamic connection, which Jesus clearly also had. And, you know, he's trying to kind of slowly get them to the idea that being connected by blood isn't what saves you. And of course, you know, they accuse him of having a demon and lying and everything. And so they didn't take that very well. And what I tell people in that situation is, you know, your family is an influence, but it isn't who makes you 100% you. And one of the hardest things you deal with, at least in youth ministry, is there's youth. You see it a lot more with poor fathers, like people who have not been good fathers to either their son or daughter. And they really struggle with that because they look at, my dad was this. And of course, you see it with moms sometimes too, but it's usually fathers. And they'll say, my dad was this. How can I not expect to be something like what my dad turned into? He's my biggest influence. And what I tell them is, it's good that you recognize the influence. You can't escape that influence, but you're not your dad. You're not your mom. You are you. You know, your family is your family. You can't rewrite the past.
It's why we own our mistakes.
Yes.
That's why the coach who said to me, that's why Courtney, when he said to me, you just took yourself off the team. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole idea that there is a responsibility in life, whether you know it or not, you're stuck with it. Mm-hmm. And part of that change is understanding that I don't have to be, if I had bad parents, I don't have to be like them. Mm-hmm. I can change. I can be that breaking the cycle person. But yeah, I mean, when I taught those years that I taught, I thought, how many of these families come from hard situations that I know nothing about? And unless I listen to them and care for them, how is that life going to change for them? And I think that's where we all have an opportunity in today's age, whether it's with neighbors or with people in the classroom or people that we know, we have opportunities to make a difference for them for the long haul, not just on the human bloodline, but on the Jesus bloodline. Lacey, come on, talk.
I'm just sitting here going, you know, genealogy to me is interesting, and I'll bring this back around here. For those of you that don't know, is that my birth mother passed away when I was 3 weeks old. My birth mother was adopted. So my tree, as I'm holding my hands up, was struck by lightning. Wow. And is missing half of it. And I am on Ancestry, and it was a gift given to me last year, and I should have used it more than what I did, because now the monthly is way more than it was was before. But it's very hard for me to find any of her records. Like, I can find her obituary. I can find her marriage to my dad, but that's it. And, you know, I've had a couple people that have emailed me through Ancestry, like, hey, we're third and fourth cousins, or fifth and sixth cousins. Do you know these names? And I'm like, I got no clue, because I don't know. Was she adopted as an infant? Was she adopted as a 2-day-old baby? I have no idea. And my dad doesn't necessarily know either. And not that I've really even asked him, but over the past couple of years, this has been like, ooh, I wonder if I really actually have some family out there that I don't know about. Not that I'm looking for a new family, but I'm just curious. I'm like, some of the quirks and characteristics that, you know, I have, or things that I do, or mannerisms that I have, I don't see them in my dad. So then I think, oh, this must come from my mom's side of the family. I wonder, you know, who on that side of the family has this big deep V split in between two fingers when you stick them together, or the ability to write your name with your toes. You know, that's not something everybody can do. So
I can barely write my name with my hands.
Oh, I can totally write my name with my toes. And we talked about that in another podcast.
That's why she's the doer of all things.
We talked about odd things that you can do? I'm like, well, I can write my name with my toes and in cursive. But, you know, so for people that don't know their genealogy, try looking into it. And if you get stumped, you get stumped. But
yeah, I think that's the part that I think sometimes those of us, I mean, even on my wife's on her mom's side, to be able to go back is great. But to realize that there's so many people like yourself that can't go back, aren't able to go back, or were in a situation that they didn't choose, but it is their history. And to take ownership of that history is important. Like you take ownership of your own failures, your own successes. Mm-hmm. You know, when I became a pastor, I went back to my home congregation. You know, that's the last place. They knew me as the troublemaker kid. That, you know, I was the kid that went to the Lutheran school and, you know, then got kicked off and all that kind of stuff.
You almost baby Hugh.
Yeah. So when I came back, I mean, I started the message by saying, how many of you remember when I got kicked off the football team? How many of you remember when I got caught in the girls' bathroom? How many of you remember when I just went down the list, because it took off all of the people out there who would be saying, well, yeah, you shouldn't, or I remember. And it allowed us all to be sinners in the same place and all receiving grace from the same God. And I think that's important for us to do. Yeah, it's not about knowing all of the names. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we who work in the church assume that everybody should know all those mm-hmm. names, but it's about knowing the Jesus that they all know.
And on top of that, you know, I understand from a tracking standpoint, adoption and can make it really hard to find your quote unquote blood ancestors, your true ones. But I think adoption is one of the most beautiful things God helped people invent. And he literally demonstrates us by how he treats us in adoption or in baptism. It's heavenly adoption. Like, you know, King David and you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all these heroes of the faith, they're not just some random dudes who did something thousands and thousands of years ago that sound really cool but have no connection to me. Those are literally our faith family members. We can look up at, that's our faith heritage, that genealogy of Jesus. You know, there's a good amount of names we don't know and can't pronounce, but there's also standouts in there that because we are adopted in Christ's family, they're part of our history too. And we can look to them of, you know, what did great, 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 many great grandpa King David once do? Well, he screwed up a couple times, but he also was a man after God's own heart.
Yes, he did. And yeah, that is, but see, that's where it draws us back to saying, who is God and why would he adopt us? Why would he want us to be connected to his family? Why would he call us his children?
Us, I mean, continual screw ups.
All of those names that are family names, right? Mm-hmm. That's who he made us to be. That's the great part. And we get to live that out. How does this connect us to the people down the road? How will we be better, different? How will we change? That's the constant that we all get to work on.
And that's
that's why grace is important. Go
exactly.
ahead.
That's the whole big thing of how God is an amazing father and an amazing teacher, and that he influences teachers like us, or teachers that we had who didn't give up on us. Is no one is unredeemable.
Yeah.
Peter said three times, I don't know my teacher. And after Jesus raises from the dead, he forgives Peter straight to his face. You know, used it as a teaching moment. He there's still a little bit of a, you know, it's one of my favorite sections of scripture as an educator, because you see Jesus as a teacher and in helping Peter realize, this wasn't good, it's not acceptable, but I forgive you and I'm going to use you to grow my kingdom.
Forgiveness.
I had to throw it in there.
I'm glad Pastor Gerber showed up today. It's great.
Well, I guess we should probably wrap this up, but any parting words from anybody?
So quiet. Go ahead.
I got nothing.
Really?
Teachers are awesome.
And no one's unredeemable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you have a teacher in your life that made a huge impact on you, either call, Facebook message, write him a letter, say thank you, because it means the world.
Thank you, Eric and Amy Hoffman, for calling home and making me realize I was a screw up.
Yeah.
I am not unredeemable.
The only thing that I would like to leave with is the fact that individuals out there who are listening to this, every little moment can change somebody's life. So don't take that little thing in your life and say, well, I have to do this grand gesture to change people's life. You just one kind word can actually completely pivot somebody's world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are tons of those kinds of stories. And they don't always make the news.
No. I guarantee they don't.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if we're thinking about, starting a new year, and whether you make resolutions or not, the whole idea that personally, God, how are you going to use me this year in every situation, whether it's my daily life with my family, with my wife and my kids, my grandkids, whether it's the people I come into contact with, whatever it is, there is that constant that God would say, come, walk with me. And, so how are we going to walk with God in the next year? It is God with us, right? Pastor Gerber, his favorite song is O Come, Emmanuel. His second favorite song is O Come, Emmanuel. I love the name Emmanuel too, because God is with us. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. So it isn't that I have to think about how I'm going to walk with God. It's that I have to remember that God is walking with me. And that alone is grace covered right there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good.
Gracious God, thank you for making us part of your family. The fact that you truly never left us. Thank you for both the ancestors you've given us in our bloodline, but also our heavenly bloodline. Those heroes and heroines in our past that we can look to, who stood up for the faith, who leave us an example on how to love you and love others. Lord, thank you for those you've put in our lives who are those faith examples, who are those life examples, who were gutsy enough to call us out and take time out of their day to give us a hard time so that we could have a better future. Lord, help us all as we head into the new year to first off stay faithful and loving our neighbor in this hard COVID time, but also to look at the little ways we can impact not only our families, but our neighbors and share your love and kindness and be lights as 2020 ends and 2021 kicks off. In your name we pray. Amen.
And usually I do the music here, but I wanted to thank you guys for coming on and being part of this. And I hope you guys will come back whenever we have vacancies.
You guys are fantastic.
Yes. And everybody out there, we want to wish you.
Way to go, Tara.
Yeah. We want to wish you guys a happy new year. And I hope you guys come
come and see.
Come and see.
Come and see.
Come and see. So happy new year all. And thank you very much. And we'll catch you on, I guess our next episode will be after the new year, right? So on our way to 30. Oh, we're getting there. We're getting old. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.